Yes, so this is the final day in the three-day program. We started on Friday, Saturday, and it's ending today. And so we welcome our sisters, welcome the women, we welcome the children, the teenagers who are joining us today, everyone that has tuned in, you are welcome. On Friday, our brothers told me yesterday that his wife watched the program on Friday evening, and I said, did she wear trousers and shirt? It was supposed to be a men's conference. But if you watch as a woman, I'm sure you are blessed and you have hints to remind your husbands and your loved ones as to what we shared. I trust that the Lord has blessed us this year, and every man that has been part of this conference, none of us will remain the same in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the theme for the Mandate 2020 is man, leader or lead, actually is a question. As a man, are you a leader or a lead? Are you leading or you are serving as a limit, as a covering, as a hindrance to you and to those that you are following? And so, yesterday we dovetailed the message to the home, looking at a man. Is he a leader at home or a lead? And so today, by the grace of God, we'll be concluding. And let's recap, especially for those who are joining for the first time, women, children, and other men who could not tune in over the weekend. Who is a leader? A leader is one who influences others to achieve a desired collective goal. There is a vision, there is a goal that is corporate, is collective for the family, for the business, for the church, for the country. The leader galvanizes all members of the team, galvanizes everyone that is a follower, that everyone will buy in into the vision and work towards accomplishing the vision and the goal. The leader does not only show the way, he leads the way. He walks his talk. He's somebody who influences. And don't forget, we said he influences. He doesn't command. He doesn't cajole. He doesn't intimidate people to achieve goals. He doesn't deceive them. He is able to influence them, communicating the vision, and everyone buys in and voluntarily supports the leader, submits to the leadership of the leader to ensure that the corporate, collective, common goal is achieved. And so we emphasize the fact that every man must be a man of vision. And everyone, men and women, youth, young, children, teenagers, who want to be in leadership position, one domineering quality, one significant quality of a leader is vision. You must have a vision of where you are going. That is, see an image, a picture of a desirable future. A desirable future for your family, a desirable future for your business, a desirable future for your life, a desirable future for the community or the nation that you lead. And so, the birthing of a vision, it's a process. To birth a vision, usually a vision does not just arise. It starts with a need which you identify. Oh, this is where I am. This is where I should be. There is a gap. There is a need. There is a desirable future, a more desirable future that I can attain. I have a destiny under God to fulfill. So there is a need, which is followed by a burden. You now receive a burden. It's doable. We can do it. It should be done. If I don't do it, there's no gain. And so it's that burden that eventually results into a vision that propels you towards accomplishing the goal. We stressed in one of the sessions on Friday the difference between vision and ambition. Ambition is a self-inspired aspiration. I want to become a chartered accountant. I want to become a chartered banker. I want to become a medical doctor. I would like to become a missionary. I would like to become a pastor. That's ambition, which is good. As a matter of fact, it's a prerequisite for success. If you don't have an ambition, there's nothing that prepares you towards accomplishing your goal. But a vision is slightly different. To those of us who are children of God, who are born again, who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we are submissive, we are subject to the leadership of God. There is nothing we want to do that we do not have to receive permission from God. So, what a Christian, what a believer does, is to subject his ambition, his aspiration, to the filter of the Holy Spirit. God, I want to become this. God, I want to relocate to Australia. God, I want to move from Abuja to Lagos. And passing your ambition through the filter of the Holy Spirit, you now receive approval of God or disapproval of God. What makes a difference is that for a Christian, any ambition that is not approved by God, you drop. Because a vision is inspired by God. A vision is God-breathed. It's God who says, this is where why I made you. This is what I want you to accomplish. You remember to Jeremiah? He said, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. God told him, that's why I made you. That should be your vision. That's your life goal. If he had purposed like he was before to be a farmer, he now knew that he needed to be a man of God. His ambition was surrendered at the feet of the vision. Sometimes God approves your ambition and it becomes your vision. But sometimes God says, no, this is my plan for you. So as leaders who believe in the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must submit our ambition to God. And it is when it is approved that it becomes a vision that we can pursue. And for us who are believers, many times our vision is derived from God's word. God's word contains his promises. It contains his covenants. And so when we believe the promises, when we receive the promises as personal word of God to us, it becomes our vision. And so we said the theme for the weekend is man, leader or lead. A man or a woman, or any leader for that matter, instead of leading, can unfortunately become a lead, that is a ceiling. A lead is something that covers a vessel. Nothing goes beyond the lead. And so a man who unfortunately has become a lead limits not only himself, limits the people he leads. Because no one can go beyond the leader. This country can never go beyond the type of leaders we elect. No state can go beyond the level of the governor they elect. No family can go beyond the level of the father unless the Lord himself breaks the ceiling. And so, one of the ways through which a leader can become a limitation, a hindrance, one of the ways is through his mentality. His mentality. What's a mentality? It's a particular attitude or way of thinking which affects your behavior towards the person or thing. Your attitude is, your mentality is your attitude or way of thinking concerning a person, concerning a thing. When I see you, what do I think about you? I don't like that man. That woman talks too much. Oh, she's white and black. So your attitude or your way of thinking concerning that person, which now affects your behavior towards that person or towards that thing. Mentality is what causes racial problem. Oh, that person is white and black. I hate him. I dislike her. Some people hate people of other religions because their mentality is that people from other religions are bad. They can't be friends at work. They can't be co-tenants and live in peace because you do not serve the God that I serve. Mentality. Some people have the mentality of always begging. When I have need, I must beg. That's a beggarly mentality. Some people have a mentality of suspicion. Everybody is a suspect. Don't trust that person. Never trust anyone. That's a mentality, an attitude, a manner of thinking about a person or a thing which now influences your behavior and relationship with them or your behavior towards that thing. And so today, I would like us to read a portion of Scripture. Numbers chapter 13, we'll read from verse 17 through 33. It's a rather long passage. Please open to your Bible if you can, and let's read together. Numbers chapter 13, reading from verse 17 to verse 33. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go of this way to the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the frost-ripe grapes. Let's flip over to verse 23. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Chapter 14. Let's just read the first verse in chapter 14. Let's read it to verse 4. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation and said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Will it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. May the Lord bless his words to our hearts in Jesus' name. I want us to note verse 33b, the last verse in chapter 13. That is verse 33. We'll read the second sentence. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. So today, although the theme for the weekend is man, leader or lead, the topic for today is grasshopper mentality. The leaders lead. Grasshopper mentality. The leader's ceiling, the leader's limitation, the leader's lead. Many of us are familiar with this passage. God was the one who proposed to give the children of Israel the land of Canaan. He told their progenitor, Abraham, who walked faithfully with God for 175 years, I'm going to give you this land. But the iniquities of the present occupants and owners are not full. So I will take your descendants to a land where they will be oppressed for 400 years. After which, by a strong hand, I will deliver them and bring them to this land, and they will occupy and possess and own this land. That was said hundreds of years before this. And so the children of Israel, eventually the descendants of Abraham, landed in Egypt as slaves. God raised Moses to deliver them, and they were delivered. And they spent 40 years in the wilderness. A journey that was supposed to take 40 days took 40 years on their way to Canaan land that was promised them many years before. So Moses eventually died and handed over to Joshua. And so at this time, Moses told the children of Israel, God has given us a vision of a desirable future. We are no longer going to be slaves. We are going to be owners of our own land, the Canaan land. And so, before we get there, 12 of you, each one representing each of the 12 tribes of Israel, please go and spy the land. Come back and give us report. Bring evidence, bring some fruits from the land. And so they went and they came back. 12 people went. 10 came with a bad and or evil report. 2 came with a good report. Men and brethren, majority is not always right. You know, there is a popular saying, vox populi, vox dei. What it means is, the voice of the people is the voice of God. I'm sure you have heard that many times. But that is very, very wrong. Many times the people are wrong in their choice. Many times the majority of people are wrong and the minority are right. In this case, the majority, 10 out of 12 of those who went, said that place is too hard for us. The people there are too powerful for us. This is a vision we can never, never accomplish. So, it's a no-go area. But a few, just two, Caleb and Joshua said, no, although the place is a fortified city, although it has Anak, children of Anak, and giants guarding the place, owning the place, we are well able to possess the land. Grasshopper mentality. Men and women, youth, teenagers and children called to leadership. Grasshopper mentality can be a lead to your leadership. It can be a ceiling to you accomplishing, or a hindrance hindering you from accomplishing what the Lord has set you to do. Your life's purpose can be aborted because of your grasshopper mentality. Let's examine some characteristics of grasshopper mentality from this story that we have read. One characteristic of grasshopper mentality is that you lose sight of the vision. When the children of Israel, who were sent to spy the land, went, they came back to give a report to their leader Moses and to the entire congregation. If you read that passage very well, none of them mentioned the vision God gave them. They had lost sight of the vision. They had become ordinary men without any goal. This vision was initiated by God. God told their forefathers, I'm going to give you this land. And so they forgot what God said. They disbelieved what God said. They trivialized what God said. In fact, like the Bible said, God was not even in their thinking. They never mentioned God. So grasshopper mentality makes you to forget God, to forget about the vision. All you are just concentrating on is any other thing apart from what God said to you. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, what's the vision God has put in your heart? What's the vision of his purpose that he has shown you before? Never, never lose sight of the vision. If you lose sight of that vision, you surrender yourself to grasshopper mentality. Second characteristic of grasshopper mentality is that it loses sight of past miracles. All through their speech, when they came back from spying the land, they never mentioned anything God has done for them before. These were the same people that witnessed 10 plagues in the land of Egypt. They saw how God displayed to Pharaoh and the children of Egypt that he is God. How the firstborn in every family in Egypt died, but the children of Israel survived. How the Lord parted the Red Sea, they forgot. How God helped them to defeat the Amalekites. How God provided manna in the wilderness. How God provided water through the rock. They didn't mention that. Grasshopper mentality makes you to forget past miracles. You want to hear the truth? Usually, the person with grasshopper mentality is an ingrate. He will never remember God's blessings in the past because he didn't appreciate them. Is it just manna you gave me for 40 years? What is manna? Other people are eating jollof rice and chicken. They despise little blessings. They do not appreciate God's blessings. Men and brethren, even your life is a gift from God. The fact that you woke up this morning, whatever challenges you are going through, whatever children of Anak are facing you, the fact that you are alive means that you are a victor. Means that God has been good to you. Be grateful for little mercies. We're talking about some characteristics of grasshopper mentality. We said losing sight of the vision. Two, losing sight of past miracles. Three, looking at the physical, not the spiritual. When you have grasshopper mentality, you are a very carnal man. You are never spiritual. It is what you see that you see. It is what you hear that you believe. No wonder the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18. Why we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If what you look at is just what is happening around you, you will be subject to the grasshopper mentality. These people, they exaggerated the problem. In verse 32, they said, all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Is it possible that in a country, everybody will be a giant? There will be some dwarfs. There will be some little children. All the people. Usually, grasshopper mentality may not be your portion. It makes you see white as brown. Makes you see green as blue. Beclouds your vision. In verse 28 of this passage, Numbers 13, it says, nevertheless, okay, let's start from verse 27. It says, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Verse 28. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. They saw that it was really flowing with milk and honey, like God said. But they also saw beyond that. They saw that the land was vast. Many times the vision God gives you is vast, is large. Brothers and sisters, God never tells you to do what you can do on your own. If you can do it on your own, if you can accomplish it yourself, you don't need God. Then that's your ambition. If it's a God-inspired vision, it can only be done by the help of God. It is not by might. It is not by power. It is by the Spirit of the Lord. So whether large or not, if the Lord has given you that vision, it is doable. Whether big or not, some people will tell you, you are too ambitious. That vision you are painting is too much. Don't you remember where you came from that humble background? You are too ambitious. Mellow down your vision. We have a big God. Many times when he gives us a vision, the vision is for a vast land, for a big land. They also saw that the cities were fortified. In other words, it was difficult to penetrate. Many times what the Lord asks you to do is difficult. I'm sure sitting down where you are or lying down wherever you are, you can cast your mind back to the past. Some vision the Lord gave you, which looked unachievable. How you became a graduate, only you and God know. Today you are a graduate. How you became a landlord, only you and God know. Because God did it. How you survived and you are 43 years and 2 months this month, only God can say. Because you were supposed to die 13 years ago. You are not supposed to be older than 30. But God preserved you. God saved you. So when God gives you a vision, it looks impenetrable, like a fortified city. Also, he said the people who dwell in the place are strong. Do you know that sometimes I marvel at who God is? 400 years before, when God was promising, giving them that vision of that land, hello, are you with me? The land was not vacant. The land was not without owners. And I was wondering, Lord, you could have given them a virgin land owned by no man so that there will be no contention. So God knew that there will be contention. The people who are to be dispossessed of the land will say no. So in the same way, you have just started your career and you are rising and you surprised people are envying you. Who are you going to be like if you are succeeding and people are not envying you? They envied Jesus that he was taking all their crowd from them. So any vision God gives you will arouse suspicion, will arouse envy in the hearts of people. And so going back to the third characteristic, looking at the physical, not the spiritual, with this characteristic, you exaggerate the problem. You overrate the enemy and you underrate God. When you are just a physical man, like COVID-19, many people are perplexed. Many are perturbed. Only God knows how many people in the last 2-3 months have called me from many countries in the world. Pastor, please pray for me. I'm exhibiting signs of COVID-19. Praise the Lord. None of them has come down with COVID-19. Just exhibiting the signs of fear, symptoms of fear. It is fear 19, not COVID-19. We underrate God. We look at God through the prism, through the glasses of the problem. We look at our God tainted with how big the problem is. Ah, God, you are not powerful. What God wants is for you to look at the problem through the prism of the eye of God. You look at the problem through the prism of the word of God. What does the word say? These people never mentioned God's promise. They never mentioned God promised them the land. All they were seeing is just the problem, and they were looking at their God through the prism of the problem. The final characteristic I would like to mention about grasshopper mentality, which can make a become a lead for the leader, is that it gives you low esteem. Let's read the very last verse, verse 33 of chapter 13, Numbers 13, 33 again. The last part. He said, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. One, when you have low esteem, you think lowly of yourself. He said, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. The way we see ourselves compared with the others is that grasshopper is a very tiny insect for that, by the way. Very tiny. So you are looking at yourself, he is a giant, I am so small. In the same way, the vision God has given you looks unattainable, looks too big. When you look at yourself as a tiny grasshopper, low self-esteem. I can't marry that lady. She's from a wealthy family. I can't marry that lady. She has masters. I just have HND. You look down, you have low esteem. That's grasshopper mentality. I can even understand with this. The second one is, which I find very, very funny. And so we were in their sight. Not only did they have a low esteem in their own sight, did they look at themselves as grasshopper? They said, the way the people were looking at us, they are looking at us like grasshoppers. How did you know? Did you go into their eyes? Did you go into their mind? That's what grasshopper mentality does. You assume everybody thinks lowly of you. That's the second way it works. The first way is that you think lowly of yourself. Number two, you assume every other person thinks lowly of you. And that's why you see some people, they can never look at people at face. Good morning, sir. Good morning, man. Grasshopper mentality. When God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you are the only one left on earth, Jesus will have died for you. You alone. That means you are so important to God that Jesus could have died for you. So do not have a low esteem of yourself and never think that everybody is looking down on you. Even if they look down, you don't look down on yourself. Be self-confident. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what are the effects of grasshopper mentality? We have talked about the characteristics. The effects. One, grasshopper mentality is very contagious. It is like COVID-19. COVID-19 started from Wuhan in China, and at the last count, almost all countries of the world have gotten it. Almost all countries, from one person. Virus, very, very contagious. It's the same way, grasshopper mentality is very contagious. Why do I say that? In chapter 14, verse 1, when the people had the bad report, the Bible said everybody did a night vigil of weeping. They started weeping. Ah, these giants are going to kill us. Most people believed, apart from Joshua and Caleb. Everybody thought they were going to die. The vision is unattainable. Grasshopper mentality has become a lead on them. The second effect of grasshopper mentality is that it puts a lead on the leader and his followers. The grasshopper mentality puts a ceiling, a hindrance, a lead on the leader and his followers. Why do I say so? One, it brings stagnation, no progress. Do you know that because of this mentality of these people, a journey of 40 days was multiplied by 365. A journey where they were supposed to stay for 40 days, they stayed 40 years there. 365 times 40 days there. Stagnation. Just moving around a circle. Just because of their grasshopper mentality. Number two, it brings retrogression. Here they said in chapter 14, verse 3, the last part of verse 3, and then verse 4, he said, will it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. They were ready to retrogress. If we cannot progress, let us go back to Egypt and eat the cucumbers, the melon. Let us continue to be slaves. Let's go back 400 years to become slaves again. That's what grasshopper mentality does. It makes you go back. You move one step forward, 10 steps backwards. And finally, it brings vision abortion. Grasshopper mentality makes you to miscarry your vision. It puts an end to everything God has put in your heart. My beloved brother many years ago told me, Pastor, I think we should pray that people will not die with their vision inside of them. Many people die with their vision inside of them. Because these people, hello, the 10 spies and all the people who did night vigil of weeping that night, none of them accomplished the vision. None of them entered the promised land. God said, you disbelieve me, you will all die, but I will allow your children to get there. So it's only the children and Joshua and Caleb that were able to get there. So vision was aborted. So as we round off, my dear brothers and my sisters, the young ones and old ones listening to me this morning, you are called to be a leader. Don't allow grasshopper mentality to limit you and serve as a lead to your life or to your leadership. If you are leading a group of people, you are leading a family as a husband and as a father, you are leading a church, you are leading in the workplace, if you have grasshopper mentality, it affects everybody you are leading. It makes them stagnated. It makes them retrogress. It makes the vision about it, and they stay on the path. In other words, instead of leading, you have become a lead. Instead of the grasshopper mentality, the mentality I would like to commend to you today is the well-able mentality. Caleb said in verse 30 of chapter 13, let us go at once and take possession. Verse 30, let us go at once and take possession, for we are well-able to overcome it. Same people saw same things, faced same problems, but never lost sight of the vision. Remember that it is God who gave them the vision, and they are well able to overcome and accomplish. And do you know what? Many years later, in Joshua chapter 21 and verse 45, Joshua 21 verse 25, eventually the Caleb and Joshua and the young ones who didn't perish in the wilderness took over the land of Canaan, despite the fact that the seven tribes, Canaanites, Jebusites, were all there. And it is written in this scripture, Joshua 21:45, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. All came to pass. The vision was accomplished. If you trust the Lord and continue to believe the Lord for the vision, He has the ability to destroy every Amalekite, every Canaanite. He has the ability to help you to overcome and to fulfill your vision. Grasshopper mentality, the leaders lead. Avoid grasshopper's mentality. Embrace wellable mentality. And I say concerning you, my dear brother, I say concerning you, my dear sister, all that the Lord has put in your heart, that is not just your ambition, that God has breathed into your heart as a vision, I pray that the Lord would supernaturally enable you to fulfill that vision to the glory of God. This same lifetime you have, this single lifetime you have, you as a leader or as a follower, I pray and I decree that you will glorify the Lord through your life. God bless you. Good morning.